bucket with a fishing pole. I'm dropping a line through an icy hole. I know you're down there. I know you're down there. I know you're down there.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hannigan in studio with the Grizz, who's a little bit outside the studio, down in a little bit warmer place and a little bit cooler place, I think, than what we are in California. We have Raymond Young. And I don't know if you're doing any ice fishing over there, but Raymond, why don't you give us a little bit of your family history and what your family's been doing for how long?
Okay, we've been in business for 83 years this year. my grandfather started the business.
But what business are we talking about, buddy?
Oh, you want to talk about the lobster business?
That's what I want to hear about.
Yeah. Also, yeah, we've been, I'm third generation running the show, and it's been a good thing, and it's a lot of hard work, but it's been knowledgeable also to learn all the way up through from building your own traps, catching them, to now learning the other side, doing the business and the wholesale and the retail and restaurant and all that.
Well, you know, of course, the Grizz, they do have lobster in southern Baja, but they're not at all the same. So Grizz is trying to figure out a way that we can get some of those live Maine lobster down there. So, well, maybe you'll just have to ship them to me, and I'll take them down.
There you go. I'll send them.
There might even be some left.
Well, yeah, I don't want them getting to you. I'll never see any of them. Hey, I got a question for you. I've eaten a lot of Maine lobster, and I used to have some clients that used to literally send them to me. Like John said, they'd pack them in seaweed and put them in styrofoam boxes and send them to me. Now, I always had rubber bands on those pinchers. Have you ever been pinched by one of those things?
I get bit once a day, whether I like it or not.
But they got to really hurt bad, don't they?
No, it's like more of a pinch. But if you pick them up, say the lobster's got you by the finger, if you hold the lobster up in the air, the lobster will release because he doesn't like the weight pulling on his claw, so they'll automatically let go.
I always wondered that because, I mean, they've got some pinchers. I mean, I've seen some of them the size of my hand, and I'm a big man.
Yeah, I've got one here that my grandfather had caught years ago, dragging for scallops, and it came up, and it's 37 and a half pounds it weighed up at, and
my Lord.
A little over 5 feet long, so.
Whoa.
But well, the claws are humongous. But, yeah, something like that, the strength in there, yeah, you'd have a sore finger.
Well, that pinch your head off.
Well, I've never been bit by a 5-pounder, but never have really broke a finger or anything. You know, if you pull away, you'll tear the skin, but other than that, hold them up and let them go.
Ray, they do have the ability to live a long time, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yeah, it takes 7 years to be a 1-pound lobster.
Holy smokes.
Well, how old was that 5-footer?
Oh, that one there, they figured it was over 100 and something years old.
My Lord.
Wow.
Did they eat him?
No, when they got him up, he was pretty much, they caught him when I guess he was already dead, so he'd banged him up when he was dragging for scallops off the bottom at the time or what, but when they got done, they had to go through a whole lot of paperwork and state records and all that stuff to be able to keep it, so there was a lot of hassle, but once they got it, kind of let it set outside, and the ants ate the inside of it out so they could mount it on the wall, so.
Ray, can you describe the process that you go through to bring those lobster in, and what is the season?
Maine, our season is year-round. We have no season here, but we do have limits as far as the months of June, July, August. The fishermen can't fish on Sundays. That's a day of conservation. A fisherman can have up to 800 traps. Used to be unlimited years ago, but they restricted that down. All the other ways of conservation, the size limits on the small ones, on our big ones, females with eggs underneath the tail, those have to go back. We make a V-notch in the flipper and throw that lobster back, and even though they catch that lobster next year with the V-notch in that female flipper, still has to go back for breeding stock lobster.
Well, that's real interesting. Now, can you eat a dead lobster? I know, you know, you're supposed to boil them alive.
Right.
I mean, if you if one dies, can you go ahead and eat it?
Yeah, as long as it was kept cold. If it was heat has got to it or it got warm, that'd be a different story. But say you packed it on ice and you was taking it with you on your trip and you got there and it was had died, as long as it's kept cold for about an 18-hour period, you've got that time period in there, you could cook it and eat it. But the best way to tell is when you, after you cook the lobster, you break the tail off, and if the tail meat comes out crumbly like cottage cheese, then you know it's no good. The tail is always the way to tell if the lobster is going to be good. It should come out whole and firm.
Mm-hmm.
And if you eat it when it looks like cottage cheese, I mean, can you die, or what happens?
Not really. I mean, you'll just have have problems on the other end.
Yeah, tastes like mush. Right?
Yeah, it's mush.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted that. I never knew.
Ray, when on the West Coast, you know, we don't have as much easy access to it, and you can find them in the grocery stores in the live tanks, but they're usually about a pound, pound and a quarter. What do you consider the ideal size for eating?
For myself, I mean, I just soon eat a couple of pound and a half lobsters for myself and a few clams, and that's my dinner, but... I've eaten them all. I've eaten anything from a 1-pounder up to a 5-pounder, and it all goes on cooking. You take a big lobster, it takes, especially if it's a hard shell, it might take a half hour to cook a 5-pounder in a heavy boiling water. If you undercook it, it comes out tough and chewy, but a big lobster, the only problem with a real big lobster is the meat and the claws start to get grainy like a steak.
Okay, so the like a 5-pound lobster might be good, but you're probably better off with a smaller one because of the little sweeter taste.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting. And with now the other thing is with people that don't live in Maine and they would like to have some lobster for New Year's or maybe for Christmas, what can you do for them?
Yeah, you can just call us at 207-338-1160. Or we go on Facebook, and we can catch you there and talk back and forth, and we'll give you the current prices of lobsters. We send them out FedEx overnight air, and those go live. And then we also do a lobster that we cook halfway in the seawater down here, cool it, pack it on ice, and those go out on second day air. And the freight's about $20 cheaper compared to the overnight express fees. So it's a lot cheaper to go that way. And where they're cooked in the seawater here, the flavor is in them. So you can just cook them in another 8-10 more minutes at home, and they're all hot.
And the flavor is not degraded? You think that they're...
No. Yeah. I do it a lot of times when if I'm going up to the boys, say, hey, Raymond, why don't you come up north and go fishing with us? And so,
and bring some lobster.
Bring some lobster. So great to have me come fishing, but bring the lobsters. So
there you go.
I cook them halfway and then just keep them in the cooler, and whatever day I want, I've got 5 days with them after they're cooked, as long as they're kept cold. So,
well, the other question is, do you put them head first in hot water, or do you start them off in cooler water and then just bring them up to temperature?
No, we always get your water boiling first and then put them in. It doesn't matter if they go head first or tail first, as long as you don't get splashed from the tail kicking
yeah,
the water
they at don't,
you.
They don't like that.
No, they scream.
Yeah.
I've done it. I've heard a lobster scream. Okay. It was horrible.
Okay, well, let's get enough of that. But anyway, Raymond, the name of your operation is Young's Seafood. Is that right?
Young's Lobster Pound, yep.
Young's Lobster Pound. Okay. And if anybody would like to find out, they could just get in touch with me and us, and we'll put them in touch. But, Ray, you're going to be hearing from us, I'm sure, before New Year's.
All right, you're on, and if you get up to Maine, I'll treat you fellows to lobsters. How's that?
Oh, that sounds like a good deal.
Well, why don't you just come down here to Cabo and bring them with you, and I'll treat you to some best fishing you've
there
ever
you
seen.
Well, as a matter of fact, that's how we met Ray, is in Cabo San Lucas, Grizz, but we'll get him back down there. Next time, we'll have to bring some lobster with him. Anyway, we're going to get go for this segment. Ray, that was very interesting. We appreciate that. And Grizz, you stay tuned. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work. A bad day of fishing just better than a good day at work.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, in our other studio in the City of Peace, La Paz, Baja California, sir, as we have the Grizz from Adventures South of the Border. And a little bit farther north, we have Shauna, who's hanging around Lake Shasta and some of the beautiful lakes in the Northern California area. And we're going to find out maybe a little bit about, you know, what the holidays are like up in the higher country. Up around Northern California, Lake Shasta. Shauna, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome, John. Hi, Grizz.
How you doing?
Is it starting to look a little bit like Christmas up there, Shauna?
No.
That sounds like a song, John.
It's sunshiny. It's a little chilly. Got a little bite to the air, but we haven't even barely seen any rain up here. It's actually beautiful weather for fishing right now. Matter of fact, I'm getting some amazing fishing reports coming in. It's trout season on Shasta Lake. The trout are loving it. I hear that they've got lots of beautiful colors going on. Much to the bass fishermen's demise, the bass fishing has not been all that great.
Well, water's getting a little cool for bass, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And the trout certainly enjoy the weather with the lake temperatures right now. So if you're a trout fisherman, it's that time of the year. And up at Trinity Lake, however, you know, there's some good fishing going on up there as well. And again, it's probably, you know, the cooler temperatured fish that's liking the weather right now. So that's going to be the primary fish that you'd catch.
If somebody wants to maybe sneak away and maybe, you know, has a little bit of time off for the Christmas holidays, would you recommend that they come up and get a cabin or a tent?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, we got yurts at the Lakeshore East Campground up in the northern part of Shasta Lake. There's several other campgrounds around ours that actually have cabins with electricity, one of them being the Lakeshore Inn and Villa. If somebody wanted, you know, to have the comforts of electricity.
I do.
Yeah.
And I want a fireplace, and I want Santa Claus, and I want all those things.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, if you brought up a marlin, I might be able to go out and catch a sturgeon.
I would go for a sturgeon. I would like to do that. Now, I don't kill marlin, you know that, but I sure would like to catch a nice sturgeon.
Yeah. Now, would that be in the Delta, or where would you find sturgeon, Shauna?
Actually, believe it or not, they're right here in Shasta Lake.
Really?
I'd love to go do that. I'd like to make a television show of that.
Oh, they are very incredible fish. I've had the opportunity to get some. And normally they're on a slot limit because they, you know, they do have to be protected. And also they can live to be, and I don't know how many different types there are, but they can live to be 100 years old, right?
Yes, they can. Matter of fact, we get some amazing stories up here. Of sturgeon fishing. One of the ones that I've had ever since I was a young kid is a guy out there sturgeon fishing and just his little aluminum boat hooks into a sturgeon and pulls him around the lake for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. a couple of days.
The old man of the lake instead of the old man of the sea.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Now, whether or not this story has validity or not, I'm not too sure, but I have seen some pictures recently of some pretty big sturgeon in the lake.
They do. And then, of course, and I'm not sure what the regulations are up there right now, but normally there's a slot limit, so you can take them if they're in a certain size range.
I don't want to kill him anyway. I just want to make a television show with him.
Yeah, I just want to pet him.
And you can pet me too, Shannon. I'm a nice guy.
Yeah, he's nice and furry.
Yeah, I am. That's why they call me the Grizz.
Anyway, Shannon, if someone wants to get up there and enjoy some of that, what you've just been describing, what do you recommend?
I recommend that they visit our website, ShastaTrinityCamping.com. They can call me at 530-275-8113. I'm as much a tour guide as I am a lake guide, so I can direct them into whatever path that they need, whether they want to go camping or go rent a houseboat or do cabins with electricity. I'll be more than happy to assist them.
Mm-hmm. And for getting to Shasta, give us some kind of landmarks. Say if you're coming from Sacramento, how far would it be?
I'm from Sacramento. It's about 350 miles. It'll take you about 3 hours to get here, depending upon, you know, the time of day you leave and rush hour traffic. And you just stay on Interstate 5. You really can't miss it. You'll get up here and go through the little town of Redding, and then you'll hit the city of Shasta Lake. And from there, we just have little communities and roads that hit the lake from all different directions.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great. Well, that sounds awesome. Thank you, Shannon. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And we're waiting on you down here, Shannon, when you get a chance. Come on down.
Absolutely. It's been a while since I've been down there in Baja. I grew up in San Diego, so.
Well, you come down whenever you want. You got a hotel, and I'll take you fishing, and we'll do something.
All righty.
And I'd certainly recommend those houseboats up there. Those are awesome. Shannon, thank you very much. We appreciate that report.
You're welcome, John. Bye, Chris.
Okay. Bye.
Well, I think that we have Wolf on the line from the Picante fleet down in Cabo San Lucas. We're going to find out real quick if he's there or not. And, Grizz, I'm sure that you've probably been in contact with Wolf recently and maybe been fishing with him. But, Wolf, give us an idea, Cabo San Lucas, fishing, and what's happening this time of the year.
Well, it's been, again, we're having good striped marlin fishing. You know, and there's been a lot of talk about the full moon ruining the marlin fishing. Well, this time it didn't work. Guys were out a couple days ago and they hooked and brought to the boat two striped marlin, and they were bringing in their lines, and the last line, just as they brought it in, blue marlin came out of the depths and bit on that thing, and they spent like 4.5 hours.
Oh man, come out of the depths. What are you started writing a book or something like Moby Dick? Come out of the depths.
Well, that was appropriate. That's why they call it blue water.
What's happening? Come out of the depths and ate it.
Well, you know, you TV guys, I'm trying to paint a picture with words, you know.
out of the depths. That's a good one.
Hey, Grizz, I want to hear this story. So,
go ahead.
That they had a striped marlin on coming up to the boat, and a big blue came and grabbed it.
No, they were coming back in, and they were just clearing their lines, bringing their lines in. They were 5 minutes from coming back in, and they had two lines out, and they were bringing the second last one, the last line out there. But this fish, and it's interesting because it's a here you're going to like this one, Grizz.
Okay.
The guy that landed the fish is from Valdosta, Georgia, and he's a real estate guy. And I just wanted to say the real estate guy hit some pay dirt in the ocean here in Cabo San Lucas.
Oh, boy, you've been waiting for that one.
So
that was about...
Well, it came out of the depth.
And would you say that was about 400?
601 pounds on the scale.
Whoa. Wow.
So, and this guy was interesting because he had won the, what do they call it, Hard Worker Award or something in Valdosta. They'd given this special award.
Oh, so the prize was to go fishing in Cabo, and he ended up with a 600-pounder.
No, it just happened to be his karma. He had some good stuff, and, you know, he just happened to be lucky. There's an Italian guy from Italy, moved to Kenya as a young boy, and then he got to Georgia, and he started working, doing real estate and doing some businesses, and he came down with his wife, and bingo, man, they just lucked right into...
Are you writing a book about that?
Just about. Could you do the cover artwork? I want something coming out of the depths.
Yeah, I can handle that one, Mike.
Well, this time of the year, are people starting to get festive yet, Wolf?
Yeah, but you know, there's not many people around again. And it's like I was talking to Grizz yesterday, and he's saying they're doing real good up in Mag Bay. And the marlin down here is starting to do better. The other day, we had a boat bring four marlin to the boat. We had another one had three, and he said the captain said he saw lots. And this is an experienced captain. He said there were so many fish out there.
Hmm.
They got three to the boat. They had a few, you know, double hookups and stuff. But so the fish that are up in Mag Bay, some of them are coming down here, and as they get down here, it's going to get better for us. Right, Grizz?
That's right. They're coming down there out of the depths for you, Mike.
That's what they're doing.
So the Picante fleet is mostly heading up the Pacific now. Is that right?
Yeah, they're fishing. Actually, some of the fishing has been pretty close, within a couple of miles of shore, just outside the lighthouse a little ways, and up near Magrino, and they're doing some fishing up in Gordo. So it's been good. It seems like the Dorado fishing slowed down for a couple of days, but I think it just depends on where you are. I mean, when they're landing that many marlin, that's usually the guys are going looking for marlin because it's pretty exciting.
Okay, well, now are the marlin looking for Dorado?
If they are, they're not finding them.
Okay.
That's why they're eating lures.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah,
coming up from the depths.
That's right. They don't come up to the depths for a live bait. They wait for the live baits to come down, and if the bait's not going down, they come out of the depths and just.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's an awesome sight.
Well, you know, I mean, I was with Grizz not too long ago. We went on a trip, and we had some double hookups, and that is really pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. And then when they start running in every direction.
Yep.
Just like what's been happening there at Mag Bay, three on it at a time. One guy up four on it at a time.
Well, that would be. Now, what do you just kind of let some of them rest while you're trying to pull the other ones in? You can't really chase them all at the same time, can you?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you can fight two.
Yeah.
You know, when you get after you get over two, it gets to be kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you have two guys trying to run around, it can be.
Well, yeah, well, the fish keep crossing all the lines up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
it's their job.
These marlin that you're talking about, have they been hitting? They've been hitting lures. Is that what you said?
Well, at least this big one was. They've been taking live bait too. But we got some sardines down here or mackerel, and they've been the mackerel's been working pretty good. Just this one wanted to eat some rubber. You know,
okay.
What are you gonna say?
I guess it came from the dam.
Okay, well, we've only got about 30 seconds left, but I can tell you, and Grizz will testify, the Picante fleet is by far and away the best equipped, the best captains, the most successful fleet in the Cabo San Lucas Marina, and that's saying a lot.
So if you want to catch a fish in the depths, come visit us.
There you go. And just go to fishtalkradio.com and click on where it says Picante Fleet. Wolf, we appreciate that. Grizz, you stay there. And we're going to be right back with you on Fish Talk Radio.
Considered the finest long-range sport fishing vessel in the world, the Royal Polaris is based at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Fishing the Royal Polaris provides unmatched service, speed, and comfort. Live the dream of landing giant yellowfin tuna, wahoo, and summer albacore. Still the fastest long-range sport fisher in the world at 113 feet, the Royal Polaris offers first-class staterooms, refrigerated fish storage, the latest in electronic fish-finding gear, and unmatched expertise. Live your dream for less money than expected. Visit RoyalPolaris.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
Goldfish, muskie, rainbow, brook trout, ground trout, steelhead, catfish, dogfish, wolffish, bullhead, halibut, hake, permit, cobia, pickerel, skate, sturgeon, landlock, triggerfish, stingray, rock bass, smallmouth, grouper, pilotfish, mako, dolphin.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. And in one of our other remote studios, we have Mark Lassane from Bass Angler Magazine. And then, of course, the Grizz is probably sticking around, too, if he didn't get sidetracked over the commercial break. But anyway, Mark.
Get rid of that guy, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, why are you pickling me like that, Mark? I never did anything to you.
And anyway, we were just, Mark, right before we came on, says, okay, what are we going to talk about? And I said, I have no idea. But, you know, that's what's fun about this. All we're doing is a couple of guys sitting around talking about fishing.
Isn't that great?
And we've been covering some territory. We just got back from Cabo San Lucas talking to the Wolf down there at Picante Fleet. We talked to Shanna up at Lake Shasta, where the trout fishing is still doing really well. And we had a great segment from live from Maine with Ray Young, that is a third-generation Maine lobster fisherman. So, yeah, we're pretty well covered.
And now we got you, Mark.
Now we got you.
Save the best for last, right?
Oh, no, we got one after you.
No, there's a lot more coming. don't be patting yourself on your back, Mark. You're not that great.
But
I love you anyway. You're a good man.
Grizz was talking about having some professional bass anglers that he took down to Baja and kind of changed their thinking a little bit. But obviously Bass Angler Magazine covers bass angling in pretty much all over the world, don't you, Mark?
We do, you know what? We have articles that pretty much will help anybody at any level, anywhere in the world, catch more fish.
So yeah, well, that's good. And I was looking at it. It's really great. It's very well done. Mark, I did have some Bass Pros that fished the circuit with me. In fact, I had 3 weeks of them, you know, changing ones, leaving ones, coming in. Had guys from North Carolina. Had the Bass Pro there, then I had Bass Pros from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then finish up with, where in the hell were they from? From Arizona.
Oh, nice.
And they had all their techniques and brought their little things and their baits and their rods and everything, and it was a great time. These guys were fantastic people to be with.
Oh, good.
And one guy caught, got a grand slam. You know, that's what he wanted to do really bad all of his life, and he got to marlin, sailfish, dorado, and tuna. And he was a happy boy.
So it wasn't a spotted largemouth and smallmouth day.
I'd done that.
Now, actually, Grizz and Mark, the tackle that you do use for 3, 5, 8 pound bass, does that work well for inshore fishing, for Sierra, or for, you know, just for Bonito or any of those?
Oh, I'm sure it will. You know, where you guys go out there in Cabo San Lucas, I think you would use the bass gear to catch the bait. Because
right.
When I was there, the bait is like,
seriously,
you know, a pound
yeah.
to 2 pounds. So,
yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I did, Mark. I went out and fished Dorado with all, made a show. Of fishing Dorado, I got one up to 50 pounds on bass equipment. So, you know, you can do it.
Yeah, just takes a little while.
Yeah, it does.
Mark, give us kind of a quick rundown this time of the year, what the bass bite is, where it is, and what you'd recommend if somebody still wants to go out.
You know, if you're in the western part of the United States, I would fish for spotted bass. You know, there's a few largemouth being caught, but it's, you know, it's really slow. The water gets in the high 40s, and spotted bass still bite pretty well. The smallmouth bite pretty good. I mean, you can catch small spots up shallow 5 to, you know, to 30 feet. You know, but the largemouth pretty much turn off this time of year. You know, there's California fish, and they don't like it when it gets cold. You know, probably just like Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I heard some places back east that. If it's not frozen over yet, the bass fishing can get really good. You know, we use a number of techniques. More often than not, this time of year, we're just working really slow. Whatever technique you're throwing, a crankbait or spinnerbait or throwing a worm or a jig, you know, your normal speed, you slow it down about 75%, and that'll help you get a few more bites.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know, you know, a fish is a cold-blooded animal. So it's actually as cold as the water or as warm as the water. So
exactly.
When the water is very cold, they swim very slow, just like a snake bites very slow.
Right. The cold water basically slows down their metabolism where the food they eat gets digested slower, so they don't need to eat as often or as much.
Hmm.
And when it warms up, the food gets digested faster, and they're more active and eat more often. I think they're comfortable at almost any temperature. It's basically their physical metabolism that speeds up and slows down with the water temperature.
Yeah, like reptiles or amphibians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Because they can't put on little coats and stuff because they don't generate their own body heat.
Okay. Well, with that, and then, in other words, and what about your technique? You said to slow it down. Is this time of the year, when the cooler is weather, do you go to artificials, or what kind of lures would you think that would work?
You know, I'm a tournament guy, so I'm really stuck on artificials. Not that I'm against live bait, but I throw a lot of artificials. And this time of year, really, you just slow your presentation way, way down, and then make repetitive casts to the areas where you think there's going to be a fish.
Great.
Are you a plastic man?
I like plastics. Are okay. I like throwing a jig and a crankbait are probably a couple of my favorites.
Yeah, crankbaits are mine, too. I get really bored with plastics.
Mark, you are editor of the Bass Angler. Is it BassAnglerMag.com?
Bass Angler Magazine, and the website is bassanglermag.com.
Fantastic, and I know that people can help you find you on that. I appreciate you coming in.
All right, thank you. It was a pleasure.
I want to write for that magazine, too, about fishing.
All right.
Okay. Chris. Okay, Grizz, you're going to stay on the line, but we're going to go a little bit farther north. We're going all the way up to Clover Pass in Ketchikan, Alaska, and talking to Michael Briggs. We're going to be putting another trip together this year to come up and visit. And if anybody else wants to come and find out what it's all about, they're more than welcome to get in touch with us. We haven't put it on the webpage yet, the Real Fun Adventures, but as soon as we get the date settled down. But Michael, give us an idea. You're living up there, full time now, but I know that you haven't spent your life up there, and it is getting a little cool, but give us an idea about the fish, the waters, the season, the runs.
Well, you and I were discussing your group coming up sometime around mid-July, which would be kind of the tail end of the king salmon run. You'll see an occasional Chinook around that time, but mostly you'll be dealing with pinks and silvers or cohos at that time.
Well, the silvers, I think, is probably what I like about best up there because there's so many of them. The kings, you're allowed one a day, and if you can get them, that's wonderful. But, I don't think you want to go up there and spend the entire day for the off chance of catching one. But when you do, they're awesome. But the silvers are so much fun. They run and they jump, and they get to be pretty good sized.
Yeah, an average king salmon really is probably about 25 pounds around here. So, you know, with the silvers, they're probably on average somewhere around 16 to 18 pounds. So they're not that much smaller of a fish, and you're allowed to take six of those out of the water each day.
Now, Alaska, as we know, is a huge, huge country. It's, as a matter of fact, if it was cut in two, Texas would be the second or the third largest state. But mm-hmm. there's a lot of different parts to Alaska, and you're in, I guess, what's known as the Alaskan Riviera down in southeast Alaska.
Yeah, down at the extreme southern southeast portion of the state, in the heart of the Inside Passage, we're actually closer to Prince Rupert, Canada, than we are to Juneau, Alaska.
Mm-hmm. And what's really incredible about the Inland Passage, as you suggest, is an archipelago of outer islands. So no matter what the weather is like, and right off the coast of Alaska, we know what the weather can be like. But no matter what it's like on the outside, it's always calm and flat around Clover Pass.
Yeah, it does end up kind of turning the experience into more like you almost feel like you're fishing on a lake, even though obviously you're out in the ocean and trolling 70 to 100 feet deep.
Well, it's kind of like being on a lake with these tall pine trees and rocks coming right down to the clear water, but then you've got all the eagles coming down and, grabbing the bait out of the small fish out of the water, and then the fish are jumping. And even was that last time I was up there, there was a whale that spent a couple of days just kind of cruising around right in front of the lodge.
Yeah, this fall, actually, the entire month of September, we had a pod of whales basically going back and forth between Clover Pass Resort and Silver King Lodge, mm-hmm. and just making this run back and forth. And they were there for a full 4 to 5 weeks. I mean, every single day there was a show going on out front.
Well, if you want to go up there for scenery, you've got orcas, you've got all kinds of fish jumping, you've got birds diving, and even without the incredible fishing, it's well worth the trip.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And it's if anybody wants to get up to Clover Pass, they can always go to fishtalkradio.com and just click on it. But we would like to have them pay attention because we're going to put a very, very affordable trip together, which will be probably towards the end of July.
Yeah, I'm sharpening my pencil right now.
There you go. Okay, well, make it a good one.
All right.
All right, Michael, we'll be in touch with that, and say hi to and Merry Christmas to everybody up there at Clover Pass.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, John.
All right. Hey, Grizz. We're going to get you up there, too, but I don't know if you can stand that cooler weather after being in Baja that long.
Yeah, I can deal with almost anything. I'll just bring me a big fat woman. Keep me warm.
I think they got some up there.
Yeah, when I was up there, there was quite a few of them, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, very nice. But anyway, let's not go there.
No, we're not.
No, we're not. Grizz, thank you very much for helping out today. You know, we've really enjoyed it, and of course, we're going to be back. So you are listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan with our co-host, Grizz, and we'll be back with you.